Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 28th of November. I'm your host, Paul White, and we are concluding Greek word studies in the New Testament. I conclude with a word that is one of my favorite topics. The Greek word is eleutheria. That's not necessarily my favorite sounding Greek word. That doesn't have anything to do with it. But in the English, the word is translated as liberty. In fact, of all of its usages in the New Testament, 11 times to be precise, it is translated liberty every single time. Eleutheria appears in multiple writers of the New Testament. Paul, Peter, James, they all love eleutheria, probably because liberty, how could it not be the loved topic of the New Covenant? You're talking about people who came from Judaism, in which liberty was not a central figure in their theology. You were always performing, you were always doing, you were always under the bondage of the law, but in Christ you have been set free. Now, a lot of us talk about freedom, we talk about liberty, but we always put conditions on it, we always put boundaries on it, we always put limits on it. And yet here's the Apostle Paul talking about liberty in terms of 1 Corinthians 10, why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? And then he turns right around and does limit his own liberty in that he says, well, if it is that offensive to someone, I'm not going to do it. He makes a decision, a smart decision, a decision nonetheless. But the question still stands, why would my liberty be judged based upon someone else? One of my favorite statements by Paul is in regards to liberty in Romans 8. He calls it the glorious liberty of the children of God. I love that glorious in front of eleutheria, liberty. What does liberty mean? And then I'm going to find it in the scriptures, and particularly our scripture for the day is from James 1, and we'll use that in just a moment. Liberty, eleutheria, 11 times in the New Testament, is the liberty to do or to omit. It's license. This one is tough. It goes down sideways for some people. It literally is translated as license and the liberty to do as you please. Another definition is true liberty is living as we should and not as we please. I'm going to take that to task in just a moment, that is not necessarily the definition of true liberty, but that is a quality of liberated people. True liberty is not necessarily living as you should, not as you please. True liberty is knowing the difference and being able to choose one from the other and not having someone else tell you that you cannot choose it. That would be true liberty. Let's use it in James chapter 1, verse 25. James says, "He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." What is the law of liberty? And only James uses the phrase law of liberty, by the way. He uses it again in James 2:12, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty." Or this is another little Greek caveat, "Speak and do as those who wish to be judged by the law of liberty." This law of liberty is what we set under. It's what we set on. In fact, it is the thing we have to grab hold of and not let go of, no matter what is thrown our way. Paul says in Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast in the liberty in which Christ has made you free, and don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Galatians 5:13, "Brethren, you've been called to liberty. Only don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So we hold on to our liberty because there'll be so many things trying to drag us back into a place of bondage. And Paul in Galatians 5 is not talking about sin. He's talking about works being dragged back from justification by faith into labor. Are there limits to our liberty? Yes, they are imposed upon us by the knowledge that we love our neighbor. You are free to do whatever you want to do, but you may destroy your neighbor in the process. And why would you do that? Because you're supposed to be loving your neighbor. That's why Galatians 5:13 is so crucial. "My brethren, you've been called to liberty. Liberty is your calling, but don't use that calling. Don't use that liberty. Don't use that license as an occasion to your flesh, but by love serve one another." Or as Peter says, and I think this is the most concise definition of it. 1 Peter 2:16, as free people, do not use your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Don't use your freedom and your liberty, your license, as a way to be bad, but as the servants of God. Should license be used here? I mean, it gives our detractors a little bit of traction when they say you people are preaching license. Well, if you're preaching liberty, you are preaching license. How can you not be? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Every time I'm using liberty from the scriptures in this study today, I'm using the Greek word eleutheria, all of these definitions of which license and the liberty to do as you please is part of those definitions. If the Spirit of the Lord's there, you have license. You have liberty. Your liberty isn't judged by someone else. Paul accuses some people, false brethren in Galatians 2, of coming in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ, that they might bring us into bondage. In other words, there are going to be people who question your liberty and your license so that they can put you back underneath the yoke of their bondage. Let me give you a little essay, a little Paul White diatribe on liberty, if I might. Liberty is not permission. Liberty provides rights. But these rights are endowed upon you by your Creator. Our own founding fathers believe this in the U.S. Permission, however, is different than liberty. Permission is alienable. Permission is impermanent. And it is derived from other people. People give you permission. The Creator gives you liberty. When Paul says, stand fast in liberty, he identifies that that liberty is derived by your Creator. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. To the Corinthians, Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 6 and again in 1 Corinthians 10, all things are lawful. Why does he say this? Because it would be beneath a free man to ask for permission. Because a free man sees all things as lawful. However, and this is the caveat, this is the but, only a free people can truly appreciate the value of self-restraint. Enforced restraint is a negation of their liberty. But free people appreciate the value of self-restraint because they want to live in a world in which people respect their liberty as much as people respect their own. And therefore, we don't use our liberty as an occasion of the flesh, but by love we serve one another. How could we not? We are a free people. I hope you've enjoyed this journey. Something brand new for you tomorrow. See you then. God bless.